Now, if you weren't here last week and didn't get to hear Steve and Angie Campbell from Cambridge, can I really encourage you to listen to their talks? They were talking about generosity. In particular, they were talking about generosity with your treasure, with your money. And they were talking about generosity and the amazing generosity they've seen in Cambridge and the amazing impact that's had on the ministry and the things that they are doing in that city. Today, they also have this line that they talk about being generous with your treasure, with your talents, and with your time. And so today, I want to look at talents, and in particular, at spiritual gifts. Next week, I'm going to look at time, which we all struggle with, but how can we be generous with our time next week? But do you ever stop to wonder if you have hidden talents? Do you ever stop to think, maybe I have some hidden talents? Sometimes wonder if I should be in musical theatre. That's usually when I'm in the shower, and doesn't last for long, but... And anybody who hears me singing in church knows that talent is well and truly hidden and actually should be buried. But more seriously, are there things in your life where you wonder if I did that, or are there things I could do that would bring me greater fulfillment? Are there things I could do to make more of a difference, to make a positive difference in our world, to bring real change to Whitney and beyond? And I imagine and hope and I know that's some of the reason that Robert will have got involved in politics, to make a difference, to make a positive difference. And do you ever stop to think, is there something I could do today or tomorrow that could completely change the way I approach life and others? See, I believe that every single follower of Jesus has spiritual gifts. I believe we all have them. We sometimes don't recognize them. We sometimes don't use them. But I do believe that God is a generous God who seeks to give gifts to all of his people. And part of our discovery is what those gifts are. So I want us to leave here today either more confident about using the spiritual gifts we have, or more keen to discover what spiritual gifts God might have for us that we can use to make a difference in our world, to help Whitney and beyond flourish. So I want to think about growing and using glorious gifts. Growing and using glorious gifts. And so the first thing I want to do is read a passage to you from 1 Corinthians. And this is 1 Corinthians 12. Paul writes this: "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say 'Jesus is Lord' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." Now, the passage goes on, and I'll refer to, it goes on to talk about the body of Christ. But what I want to do at this point is just differentiate for a moment. I think there is a difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts. There is a difference. Sometimes it's a bit of a blurred line. Sometimes there's a fine line between that difference. But I do believe there is a difference. You can be a great orator and not a preacher. You can have a great talent for something, but it's not a spiritual gift. And spiritual gifts also can be different. Some we use, maybe we talk, one of the spiritual gifts is teaching. Well, I know there are teachers here and gifted teachers here. But a spiritual gift is a gift from the Spirit of God. And it's given for a purpose, which is to glorify God, is to bring God glory. At COGS, we want everyone to flourish. We want to enable everyone to flourish through connecting with God, each other, and their world. And one of the ways I believe we flourish is when we are using our spiritual gifts, when we are using those gifts that God has given us, we flourish because God uses us. We are fruitful and we're fulfilled. Now, we need to think about this for a minute or two. Those spiritual gifts that are given, as I said, they're to glorify God. I also believe they're to benefit others. And I also believe they're to build the church. And I don't just mean the church on Sunday. I mean the church as the church operates in the world, as we go about our daily business tomorrow, to glorify God for the benefit of others and the building of the church. When we read this passage in Corinthians, it's a lovely passage about gifts being given, and it comes in a lovely book, this letter to the Corinthian church. Now, I'm sure some of you will know this, some of you may not know this, and that's fine. But the Corinthian church received this letter. Paul wrote to them because he was concerned about them. And he wrote them this letter. And in our Bibles, it's the first letter to the Corinthians. But actually, in history, it wasn't. He'd already written to them once before. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, it says, I wrote to you in my letter. So he's already written them one letter. The letter we have here is letter number 2. It might be letter number 3, but it's not the first letter he's ever written to the Corinthian church. He's in relationship with the Corinthian church. He's written to them, and they are a nightmare. They are an absolute nightmare. They are a complete dysfunctional mess. He's written them one letter. They've got it wrong. They've ignored it. They've misunderstood it. And so he's writing to them again. And you need to understand, they were plagued with really serious problems. Within the church, there was sexual immorality. There was division. They were divided. There was social snobbery. And as the pastor of this church that he's writing to, and indeed one of the church planters, he must have been just going, they just don't get it. And so he writes them this letter. And in 1 Corinthians 11, this is how much they don't get it. Because in 1 Corinthians 11, he talks to them about how they're doing communion. And he says this to them. He says, so then, when you come together, it's not the Lord's supper you eat. For when you're eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. Their communions were a nightmare of social division. They weren't breaking the body of Christ to remember how he had died for them, sharing his blood. They had groups, and there was a wealth and poverty divide within this group. And so the wealthy people were sort of, stay away from us, we're having communion here. And it was an absolute nightmare. And so then, I'm going to be looking at chapter 12, I just read to you from chapter 12. But then chapter 13 is a chapter that many of you will know. Some of you will have had read at your weddings, or have heard at weddings. It's the love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. What's he saying to this church? Come on, church, love one another and make a difference. You're getting it wrong. So in this context, where the church is divided because of the arrogance of its more powerful members, he wants the church to work together, to use the gifts of God to advance the cause of Jesus, to build up the faith of those who are weak, and to reach out to an unbelieving world. And Paul has an image of what the church should be like. He talks about it in other letters. He talks about the bride of Christ, this beautiful, glorious, spectacular bride. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. They weren't there by any stretch of the imagination. So he uses another image to try and get them to think about what they should be like as church. He uses this image of the body. And if you haven't read further on in 1 Corinthians 12, I'd encourage you to do so. But he talks about how we need each other. He talks about the eye in verse 21 of chapter 12. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And then in the Message version, which I love at the end of that passage, at verse 25, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. And if one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. This wonderful image of what the church should be like. And he's writing to this dysfunctional mess of a church and saying, this is what it should be like. And this is how you use your gifts. This is what you use those glorious gifts for, to create this sort of church, this glorious church. So, and as I say, these gifts aren't just for Sunday. You know, we need gifts of encouragement, generosity, creativity, leadership, wisdom. We need them in our works tomorrow. We need them in our teams. We need them in our schools. We need these spiritual gifts, but we need to know what they are. And we need to know what ours are as well. So what are your spiritual gifts? What are your spiritual gifts? Now, sometimes it's easier to work out what our gifts aren't. My primary gift is not pastoral. Some of you know that. You're giggling now. You see, I can normally tell if there's a pastoral problem if you're crying. That for me is a sign. You know, my pastoral antennae quit into life there. And I'm not one of these pastoral ninjas. You know, a pastoral ninja? We know they're in here. And the pastoral ninjas, when they come up to you and say, "How are you?" You don't just say, "I'm fine," which is our normal response, isn't it? Because we're British. "I'm fine. I'm fine." When a pastoral ninja says, "How are you?" we find ourselves telling them how we really are, what's really going on. And they don't look bored or walk away. They listen. And I'm in awe. I'm in awe of hospital chaplains, hospice chaplains, people who can come alongside someone and who it is their primary gift. And they can sit there and they can listen and they can help and they bring God's comfort into that situation. I'm in awe of those. When I'm in a pastoral situation, I'm desperately trying to hear God. I'm saying, "Lord, give me the words that are going to help and not make the situation worse. Help me to help this person." And I usually leave thinking, "Oh, I hope I said the right thing. I hope I said the right thing." Now, Mary Graves, who is one of our pastoral ninjas here at COGS, Mary was so pleased that I was coming back from my sabbatical, she decided to go off on holiday for a month. So I can talk about her in her absence. But she says to me that I'm actually better at pastoral ministry than I make out. That shows she's a pastoral ninja, really, doesn't it? I mean, but what my point in that is that actually, although pastoral ministry is not my primary gift, I don't use that as an excuse for not doing it. And although I'm talking about what gifts you do have, and I really want to focus on that, I'm also not giving you a cop-out to not serve or share your faith or encourage or be pastoral. It may not be your primary gift, but we still need to do it. Another gift I don't have is writing. I hate it. Hate writing. You people who love writing, wonderful. Bless you. I wish I did. When I'm asked to write a report, it's like, oh, no. I'm an extrovert processor. So I speak as I think, I think as I speak, and sometimes that gets me into trouble. But people say everyone's got a book in them. I'm not even sure I've got a leaflet. Or if I have, someone else needs to write it. But it's not a gift. For some of you, that is a gift. And it's a gift you need to use. But I do write down my sermons, and I find myself actually preaching at the computer because I process extrovertly, so I'm preaching at the computer, which can get me into trouble when I forget that I'm not alone in the house. And Sue might poke her head into the office and go, "You all right? Sorry, just preaching. It's fine." And aside, Billy Graham, greatest evangelist probably there's been of our generation, amazing evangelist. You know, when he spoke, he would go and he'd preach out in the fields, and he'd preach. And there's one story is he was preaching in a field and he was preaching to the cows. And what he didn't know was there was someone sitting behind the wall, And as he was preaching, they became a Christian because of what he was preaching to the cows. That's the sign of an evangelist. You know, you really can tell evangelists. They preach and people come to faith. So, and sometimes it's easier to know what we're not than what we are. But I want us to think about what we are. How do we find out what our spiritual gifts are? Because the gifts, I do believe we all have gifts. I believe we're all unique. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this. There is no one who is ever going to be like you again. No, you might have family similarity, you might have family traits, but there is no one who's going to be like you again. There's no one who's going to be in this situation at this time, in this place again. You are unique. And God has given you unique gifts and a unique gift mix for now, for this time, for the people that you are in contact with. And he is the giver. So three things quickly about gifts. If you're a follower of God, then the Spirit of God lives in you and he gives you gifts. And that's the first thing. Gifts are given. Gifts are given. So verse 7 that I read out said, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. God wants to give you gifts. I do believe that. I believe part of the problem is we don't ask. See, it's my son's 24th birthday on Tuesday. And so what do I say to him? I get in touch and I say, what do you want? What do you want for your birthday? And he sends me back a list of links, which is the way you do it these days. List of links. And I then, as the gift giver, decide if I'm going to give him those gifts. You know, if it ends up at a Ferrari, not a chance. But my point is this. Sometimes I think we don't get spiritual gifts because we don't ask. We don't ask. We don't say to God, God, I would love to be a bit more prophetic in the way I look at life. Could you give me that gift? Or we don't say, I'd love to be someone who brings healing, emotional or physical healing to people and come alongside them and prays for them and sees you do that through me, that healing gift. I'd love that gift, Lord. Could I have that gift? Yeah, I mean, if you go for the whole lot, he might say getting a bit greedy now. But we don't ask. He wants to give us gifts. It's his choice whether he does. But it starts by asking. When you see the gifts of someone else, he's not going to make you exactly like that person because you are unique. But if you see gifts in someone else that you think, that's a great gift. I'd love to be able to encourage people the way that person encourages them. Lord, could you give me that gift? That I could be like that in the way I bring your spiritual gifts into this world. So that's one thing. I think stop being shy about asking for gifts. And if you've never asked God for a gift, read the passage, the list of gifts. There's other passages. I can tell you where they are if you want to ask me. But read those passages. And then think, well, actually, I'd love to be an evangelist. I'd love to have that gift where I could share my faith. I don't have it at the moment. I'd love to have it. So that's the first thing to do. And the second thing within this gifts are given is, the second thing is you have gifts. You've been given gifts. And sometimes you don't even realize you've got those gifts. So the second thing is ask a trusted friend what gifts you have. Because other people tend to know what gifts you have and what gifts you don't have. You know, I said about the pastoral ministry and a few people smiled because they know that's not my primary gift. They know that. And we know that about each other. And if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, then it's time to find out. So say to a friend, look, I really want to work this spiritual gifts thing out. What do you think might be in my makeup that God might have given me that I could maybe work on a bit more? Because the other side of that is that as well as asking friends what your gifts are, I really, as a church, want to encourage us to call out gifts in others. You know, when you see a gift in someone else, tell them. When they're a great encourager, say, you know, you've got a real gift of encouragement. I just want to encourage you to use it more. You've got a real gift of teaching. You've got a real gift pastorally. You know, nobody in this room will be feeling, you know what, I am so over-encouraged. I'm so over-encouraged. Nobody encouraged me. Get away from me. I am over-encouraged. Yeah, if we become a church like that, wouldn't it be amazing? Yeah. If you see gifts in someone else, encourage them. Call it out. Say, you have this gift. I'd really work on it. Because that's the next thing. Gifts are given, but I also believe gifts are grown. Gifts are grown. You know, God gives them, but we have to grow them. And I know the fruit of the Spirit is very much grown, but I believe gifts are grown as well. And so if someone says to you, you know, I think you've got a real gift of teaching, and you go, oh, no, I'm never going to teach. Well, if God has given you that gift, you'll lose it. If you're not going to use your gifts, you will lose them. And so God will give us gifts, but then as he does, we've got to take a responsibility for those spiritual gifts to grow them, to actually to grow them. So again, the gift of encouragement, I mean, that's a great one. Everyone needs encouragement. I just said, we could all grow in that area. We could all pray for God to make us better encouragers, and then we start practicing it. Then we start practicing it, and maybe one day we'll be called Barnabas, who's the great encourager, because that was his spiritual gift. He had a gift for encouragement. So if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And doesn't that happen with normal gifts as well? Doesn't that happen? I mean, you get to that time where someone says, you get to the summer and there's one glorious sunny day, just the one. No, it wasn't that bad this year. And you think, let's get out the picnic set. I know we bought a picnic set. Where's the picnic set? And some of you are thinking, you fool, you're not organized enough to know where you keep your picnic set. Others are thinking, I know your garage, mine's worse. And you're desperately trying to find this thing that you have because you had it once and you don't. And it's like that with these gifts that God gives us, these spiritual gifts. You know, once I used to talk to people about Jesus and they'd be really interested, but I've stopped talking to them about Jesus and funny enough, that gift's not really working anymore. I've lost it a bit. So, you know, folks, I really want you to be thinking as I'm speaking and this week, what are the gifts that I used to use when I was younger, when I was in a different context? What are those spiritual gifts that I really believe God has given me that maybe I just need to dust off, look out, find? And then the final thing is gifts are for God's glory. They are for God's glory. He gives us spiritual gifts for his glory, to bring his glory. And how do we bring his glory? Well, you know, we give our gifts to others. You know, the way we bring God glory is by actually using our gifts for the benefit of others. And as we use our gifts for the benefit of others, it does build the church. It does become the beautiful, we become the beautiful bride that we're meant to be, this wonderful body that we're meant to be. So here's a question. Are you using your gifts generously? Are you using your gifts generously? You see, there's a problem sometimes, and it happens with natural talents as well, that we use them for us rather than for him. We use them for us. And one of the problems at the church in Corinth was that people were insisting on their own rights at the expense of the weak and the marginalized. They were more interested in their own social advancement rather than the advancement of the cause of Christ. They hadn't made that their top priority. Invest your gifts in the lives of others and see what God can do. Invest your gifts in the lives of others and see what God can do. You know, I'm passionate that as a church, we should reach out, transform, and empower the next generation through Jesus. I'm passionate that we should. There's actually a bit in when you get ordained in the Church of England where you make the declaration of assent. And part of that assent includes the line, the faith the church is called upon to proclaim afresh in each generation. You know, we are called to proclaim, as a priest, I am called to proclaim afresh in each generation this wonderful good news of Jesus. And as a church, as we invest our gifts into each other and into the next generations, we become the beautiful body that we're meant to be. See, right now in kids' church could be the next Archbishop of Canterbury. She's learning about the God of love as we speak. Or the next MP of Witney when Robert retires. But you know, that baby in the arms, Verity Hoyland, is she still here? Verity there? Yeah, Verity Hoyland, yeah. Evie Huggard, our newest members. We don't know what life is going to be for them. We don't know what the future is going to look like for them. But as a church, I want us to be committed to using our gifts to invest in them so that they will be whatever God is calling them to be in their generation and that they would do amazing, amazing things. See, if you want to bring glory to God, invest your spiritual gifts in the lives of other people. You know, we won't all do amazing things in our own lives. We won't all have things that we look back and think, well, that was incredible. Some of us might think, actually, my life's really ordinary. And I'd want to challenge that because I think even ordinary lives can be extraordinary. But more than that, I'd want us to believe that however ordinary my life is, whatever tomorrow brings, God might not do something extraordinary through me, but he might do something extraordinary through someone I encourage, through someone I say, you know, you've got a great gift there. You should use that. Through someone I get alongside and invest in. And that's what I want us to think and see and do. Let's use our gifts to glorify God by investing them in the lives of others and see then what he can do with them. You know, on that ordinary thing, I love the saying, if you think you're too small to make a difference, you've never spent a night with a mosquito in your bedroom. We can all make a difference. We can all invest the gifts God has given us in the lives of others. We as a community can make a difference. We seek to make a difference. And so let's keep using our gifts for his glory. We're going to worship again in a moment and pray. But I just want to encourage you, as we come to the end, just to think now for a moment. What are your gifts? What are your gifts? Have you actually never even got round to unwrapping them? God's given you some gifts and you've never realized and you've never even unwrapped them. Well, afterwards, you might want to pray with someone. You might want to talk to a friend and say, just feel like I may have some gifts, but I'm not sure I've even unwrapped them. Or maybe you've got some gifts that you've just let get a bit dusty. You've sort of slightly forgotten about them and you stopped using them. Maybe the prayer needs to be, God, remind me. Remind me of the things you've called me to. Or maybe you need to just look again at the gift list in the Bible and think, I'm ready for a new challenge, Lord. I'm ready for a new season. I'm ready to do something tomorrow that is going to be different and make a difference. And look through that list of gifts and then say, Lord, could I ask for this gift because I really want to steward it well. I really want to use it for your glory. I really want to see Whitney flourish and beyond. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. These gifts become glorious when we use them for the common good.